This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9 presents Absolutely Everybody, sponsored by and presented by Anecto, the People Network. Absolutely Everybody, only on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Julia, and thanks for joining us for the next hour on Absolutely Everybody. The Queer Film Festival starts tomorrow, and Jody will be speaking to the festival director, Lisa Daniel. Some wonderful films on this year, as there is every year. I'm also interested to learn more about a new app that assists people to get connected to their community, and more on that later. Hello, Jody.
Hello, Julia, and you're forgiven for the... The verbal stumblings there. Julia and I actually have spent the last 2 days in Sydney, so we're a bit whacked today, working up there with a wonderful group called Kinchilla Boys Aboriginal Corporation. So, yeah, we had a really lovely time up there with them. So you're forgiven.
Thank you.
So, it's going to be a great show today. I'm really looking forward to catching up with Lisa Daniel and talking all things film. And, you know, for me, anything to do with films, I just love.
I think, it's really exciting that it's an opportunity for new film directors to actually show their wares, or, you know, to get an audience, and also for there to be an avenue for very specific films on a very specific topics. And it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. I looking through the program, it's interesting, and one of my questions for Lisa will be about, obviously, we're all about inclusion and... you know, it's kind of a bit of a reverse inclusion. Hopefully people who are not familiar with the Queer Film Festival would also come along and look at some of the films, because they're really, for me, it's not just about them being queer films. They're about people, and there's some amazing topics and amazingly challenging things to think about, relationships, and it's just there's something for everyone in the festival. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be really good. And I know you're going to ask me whether I'm going. Aren't you, Julia?
I am.
Yes. And I unfortunately won't be able to go because I'm off to Italy next week. So I've got a lot to do. But, I don't know. Are you going to go along?
Look, we're absolutely hoping to go to some of the shows. Would be fantastic. But, again, it's just time is running out at the moment. Yeah. Things have got very busy.
Yeah, but Amy's going to a few, so she'll be able to fill us in. So, yeah.
That'll be great. So let us know your picks for the festival, because we'd really like to know. And phone us on 1300-JOY-940 or email us on air at joy.org.au and let us know your thoughts. Here's Communards with Never Can Say Goodbye. You're on Joy 94.9.
It's all about you, me and inclusion. Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
It's 11 minutes past midday and you're with Jody and Julia.
Hello again. We were just talking about that song actually, and how they sound like the Bronski Beat.
I know, and it's really funny. It's like, you know, you hear these songs and boy, does it give you flashbacks to dance floors.
Yes.
It's scary.
Yes. And bags in the middle of your dance circle as you're boogieing away. And, you know, drinks all over you.
Okay, we've gone way back.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's just keep moving forward.
Present time.
We were just talking about the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, and one of our silent team members, Jim Hyde. Actually, I want to just talk a little bit about the documentary he's in called Some Rainbows Never Grey. It's directed by Peter Jacobson and it's on at Acme Cinemas on the 23rd of March. And just a quick synopsis, it's about, it's on the precipice of gay marriage law reform. It's hard to imagine that only a few decades ago, a ubiquitous and unquestioned homophobia pervaded mainstream Australia, where gay men felt their only alternative was to marry women. And I think that's going to be a really good one, and I think Jim's a perfect subject for that particular documentary. So that'll be a good one to see. So giving that a bit of a plug, because our own Joy presenter, Jim Hyde, is in that one.
This is a really interesting topic, and I think that, you know, we talk about inclusion and people being themselves, and, you know, the whole thing about inclusion is everybody has the right to be themselves, and it's really unfortunate when people feel like they have to live a lie or live a different life to meet society's expectations, and it happens in so many ways. I mean, what Jim's portraying is one, but it's almost like in a family.
Yeah.
You get, there can be pressure coming in from the aunts, the uncles, the mums, the dads, you know, that you have to get married, you have to get kids, you know, and if you're the only guy in the village sitting there going, "Ooh, I don't think that's going to happen."
Yeah.
How you convince your family that, you know, "I'm so sorry."
Yeah.
That it will happen differently, but not the way you think it.
Yeah. It's interesting, and I don't want to bang on about Ash Beckham, but that's the whole pancake child, you know, story she tells on the TED Talks about, you know, having those difficult conversations, coming out of the closet with your story, whatever it is. And that's why the Queer Film Festival is so great, because there's lots of stories to talk about in there. So, yeah, it's really good.
Absolutely. So you're listening to Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9, and the time is 13 minutes past midday, and this is Gotcha by Jessica Malboy.
New to Joy in 2014, this is Absolutely Everybody.
And it's 17 minutes past midday on Joy 94.9. Okay, so the use of technology is firmly entrenched in our culture, and many would argue can make a life a lot easier for people to be connected. So joining me in the studio now is Veronica Lyons and Nick Cheatham from Villa Maria to talk about the new app to help people be connected. Welcome, Veronica and Nick.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi, thanks.
Excellent, great to have you guys here. So what led up to the creation of this app?
Well, it started in 2012. I was doing a diploma of management through Villa Maria, and my main project was this idea of creating an app for carers, helping them find places in Melbourne that are accessible. And then in 2013, we started making that happen. We worked with app developers, and it took the better part of the year, and we created the Out and About Accessing Your Community app.
Fantastic. So how does it work?
Well, it's a location-based app, so when you're out and about, you can find venues and places in your area that are accessible, and you can filter it down based on the accessible features that you might need, whether it be a ramp or an accessible toilet, fences if you're at a park and things like that, so that you can find the things that you need in the area that you're in.
So when we went on, when we actually downloaded it and had a look at it, there's different levels of accessibility. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we know that everyone has different needs, and we wanted it to help as many people in the community as possible. So it might be that you just have a walking stick, and so going upstairs is going to be difficult for you, so you need to find a ramp. Or it could be that you're a carer working with someone who has really high needs and they need a hoist if you go to the bathroom, so you need to find a place that has that. So we created different levels, it's basically to make it useful to as many people as possible.
No, that's fantastic. And the other thing that we realised was it's also really similar to TripAdvisor. So can people leave comments and rate it?
Absolutely. There's a comment section, so people can say whether or not they've found that venue fantastic or maybe not as great. Plus, they can let everyone know whether or not the accessible features it says that it has are accurate, and then we're able to change that and update it and keep it correct. Plus, they can also review it and say whether it's good or bad, and then venues that have received a number of really good reviews get a highly rated badge identifying them as a very good accessible venue.
So they have a badge on the app. Do they have a badge that they stick on their door? Like, would people be able to identify, you know, like walking down the street on, you know, where that venue is or who that might be?
Yeah, we're currently working on that, hoping to provide accessible venues with things like that, stickers for their windows or buttons they can put on their websites to identify that they are accessible venues and that they value being accessible venues.
Now, this is a really odd question. It's probably a very obvious answer. However, we're quite intrigued about this. Is how did you build up your database of places and events, and what was the criteria that you assessed the businesses? Because there is a million and one businesses and places to visit in Victoria, and we're sitting there thinking, oh man, that must have been a big job.
Yes, when we started, we had no idea it would be as big as it was. And it was the marketing team at Villa Maria putting in a lot of long hours, many phone calls, lots of internet research about finding the accessible venues in Melbourne and who had this and who had that, and basically verifying the information by making phone calls and searching through the net.
Because accessibility is quite a big... It's a broad area.
Yes.
So is it broken down into accessibility? You know, can you explain a little bit more? Because just because you've got a ramp...
That's right.
...doesn't make...
Makes you accessible. Yeah. So we decided early on to create our criteria, and we've put those criteria on the Out and About website to show people what we've qualified as high access and things like that. And a place has to at least have, for example, a accessible toilet and an accessible entryway and at least one other thing for it to make it onto the app. So if you have no accessible features, then you're not really you're not appropriate for to be on listed on the app. So depending on that is how we determine whether who would go on and who wouldn't go on the app.
Can you give us a little bit more, sorry to ask this again, Lisa, but could you give us a little bit more detail about what some of the criteria were? So for people listening, you know, when they're going, wow, is this important for me?
Yeah.
How did you actually break it down? Sort of like what sort of categories did you break it down into?
Yeah, so we've got hearing impairment or vision impairment, wheelchair user, ambulance, so if you can walk but you might have a walking stick or have some mobility limitation, or high care needs, and we also included things like accessible parking or is it close to public transport, does it accept companion cards,
And would guide dogs be included in that as well?
They're not at the moment, but we have had some people ask about it, so we list it in the description of the venue. And maybe in the future it's something we could add in because we're always looking to improve it and make it more useful.
Yep. So, Nick, you're actually working with people that you support with the app. How's that going?
It's good. It's good. I think one of the challenges that we face, carers in general, would be what I think is what is provided within this app is trying to find venues and places that you can take the people that you're supporting to, because you'd be very surprised at the places that don't provide, you know, wheelchair accessibility and disabled toilets, disabled parking. There's been many times that I've been out with clients and, you know, been driving down the road and, you know, something we need to change a client or whatever, and to just assume that a place has the facilities for that, you just can't do that. And so with having the app, what sort of sets it apart from so many different websites that have similar information is that you can access it anywhere you are. You have your iPhone, you can pull it out and you can see exactly what is around you.
In terms of the technology though, what is the challenge for, say, you work with older people, etc.? Is it successful with people who are digitally challenged, I guess, you know, and are not up with technology?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I look after one particular older gentleman and it's great because the app is so easy to use and the format is set out so simply that people of most abilities are able to use it.
Fantastic.
That's excellent. So do you guys see that this use of technology, do you think it's a short-term solution to the long-term topic of inclusion?
I don't think so. I think it could be a long-term solution using technology to help people be included in their community.
Yeah.
More and more it's entrenched in our everyday life, technology, and we're hoping to reach as many people as possible, and it's becoming that websites, apps, mobile technology is the thing people use.
So the app is currently only available on iPhone.
Yeah.
As much as we all love our iPhones, what are the plans for the future?
Well, we are planning to develop to Android actually this year, hopefully in July. And we're really excited about doing that because we will be able to reach so many more people.
That's fantastic. And look, well, thank you guys so much for coming in today. I'm really excited. I think it's a really brilliant idea. It's really cool to see someone take an idea and go, right, let's make it happen, because it is going to help so many people. So thank you both very, very much.
Thank you,
Darius. Thanks for having us.
Okay, next we have the community notice board, and a bit later Jodie talks more on the queer, oh, I'm getting that word bad today, the Queer Film Festival.
And welcome back. It's Jodie with you on Absolute Everybody, Joy 94.9. The time is 12:30 and you're with Community Notice Board. So what's going on around Melbourne? Yes, the Queer Film Festival starts tomorrow and covers a range of genres in this year's program. Trailers for the films in this year's festival can be found on MQFFTube, the YouTube site. So Google the films, and we'll be speaking to Lisa Daniels soon. What else is happening around town? The Festival of Live Art 2014 starts on 14th of March to the 30th of March. The Festival of Live Art makes its debut in Melbourne this March with plenty of performances, experiences and events brought to you by Art House, Footscray Community Arts Centre and Theatre Works. It's going to present a diverse program from intimate one-on-ones to sensational spectacles, Julia.
Sounds great.
It sounds great, doesn't it?
Sure does.
So you can find out more information at fola.com.au. And one that I always look forward to every year is Cultural Diversity Week, which runs from the 15th to the 23rd of March. Once again, in terms of inclusion and bringing people together to share common interests, Cultural Diversity Week is a great week with lots on. The ever-popular Premier's Gala Dinner will kick off Cultural Diversity Week at the Crown Palladium on the 15th of March. To mark the end of the week, tens of thousands of people will gather at Federation Square in Melbourne on Sunday, the 23rd of March, for the spectacular Viva Victoria Festival, which will be just fantastic. And we might talk a little bit more about that next week. Just getting back to the app, though, Julia, it was interesting being just for us being in Sydney the last couple of days. It's such a big city. And I think if you were looking for a venue that was accessible, it would be quite scary to sort of venture out not knowing where you're going and whether where you end up is actually going to be able to get in there. So an app like that would certainly be really good for that sort of thing.
Well, I got to say, though, even us getting around, and it's funny because we got to our apartment and, like you do, you check it out. And I walked into the shower and went, wow, okay, yep, we have railings, we have seats, we have everything. Yep. And I was saying to Jodie,
I didn't have that, though.
No, Jodie didn't have it at all, but I certainly did.
Well, you were lucky.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's interesting. And of course, we had Professor Shane, or you spoke to Professor Shane Murray last, a couple of weeks ago, around design and architecture for community inclusion. And I just think that whilst an app and technology is great, I would hate to think that it would take the place of people actually making an effort to design good, accessible buildings.
The one thing that was fascinating talking to Shane, and I think our own experience from being from an ECDO, is we've worked on a project where they've designed specifically these New York-style apartments in Abbotsford that are totally accessible for people who have different levels of paraplegia or quadriplegia. And I got to say, they're amazing. I just walked in and went, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, there's speakers in the roof. So if someone fell over, all they have to do is yell out, and there's a worker that has a buzzer on them so they'd know, but you don't have to have that person there all the time.
Yeah.
The benches, can be leveled up and down depending on the height of the person, whether you're in a chair or whether you're standing up. Everything has been designed specifically to be at the right height. And, and how easy would that be?
Yeah. I think we actually have Adam Schickling coming on next week who is part of that project. And inclusion facilitation obviously is very important to that process as well. So, yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But right now the time is 26 minutes to one, and you're listening to Absolutely Everybody. We have coming up next Lisa Daniel from the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Did you like the way that rolled off my tongue,
Julia?
Oh,
that was very good because, I certainly haven't been able to get the word queer out of my mouth today.
Yeah. It's all about you, me and inclusion. Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
And welcome back to Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9. You're with Julia and Jodie today, and the time is 21 minutes to one. Julia, you're having trouble with saying the word queer today. I'm having trouble with the time.
Your numbers.
I always have trouble with numbers, though. So we're welcoming Lisa Daniel today from the director of the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. And I must apologise, Lisa, for our inability to say the word queer today.
We get it in the office sometimes. Afternoon, everyone. But we do get it. If we order a courier, they might say... Sorry, Melbourne Career Film Festival.
Yeah, I can imagine.
There's just always a bit of hesitation if you're, you know, ringing for a supply or a career or something like that.
Does that really say queer? Is that what they really mean?
Yeah, occasionally they might ask you what it means.
Absolutely. Well, that's all right. Well,
Not so often these days.
Share the love, So I have to acknowledge our lovely Amy, who isn't with us today, who was going to be interviewing you, and she's probably very jealous of me because I get to talk about all the wonderful films today. So I guess, well, for those people that are not familiar with the film festival, it's been around for about 24 years. Can you tell us a little bit of the background to the festival?
Yeah, I mean, it's before my time. I started 16 years ago, so I wasn't around for the start. I wasn't even born then, ladies. But it started pretty much the office was out the back of Hares and Hyenas when Hares and Hyenas was at Commercial Road. I think the first screening was at maybe in St Kilda or something like that. I can't remember the history now. And then it just kind of grew. I took it on in 1997. Or 98.
So a fair while.
Pre-smartphone technology, so hence I can't remember the date I started. I've lost my Filofax from those days. And then, you know, we used to screen at the State Film Theatre, which, of course, is underneath Parliament, which was all very exciting and dark and dungeony. And then ACME opened.
Yes,
and
the one
we've screened. So that's been there for 10 years, and we've sort of spread into Hoyts, Melbourne Central as well.
And just from those first days, 24 years ago, and I guess obviously you weren't there then, but anecdotally, have you heard about how times have changed? Like, how was it received in that first festival to today?
I think it was more underground then. Like, it was sort of more... you know, it probably didn't get a lot of marketing, and it certainly wouldn't have been advertised in the Herald Sun of the Age and that sort of thing. So it was probably more just word of mouth and that sort of thing. But as, you know, as technology's changed, it's been fantastic for us to, you know, jump on social media and do that sort of stuff. We don't have a marketing budget at all, so it's not like we take out ads or, you know, spend any money on actually marketing the festival. We still rely on word of mouth and social media and people talking about it. So things haven't changed that much in that way. But technology's changed in a lot of other ways in terms of... you know, how we screen films, how people view films, you know, how we exhibit them at the festival, how they're submitted to us and all that sort of stuff. So,
What are the requirements for the films?
It needs to have a queer sensibility. And what I mean by that is it has to be relevant to the GLBTIQ community. Like, and I'm not sort of saying that it needs to have, you know, the cousin of the guy who's the main character is gay. They have to be front and centre, and they have to be a prominent part of the actual narrative, not just sort of a passing character. I mean, I get lots of submissions from filmmakers and, you know, it's really just a straight story and they happen to have a, you know, the shopkeeper is gay and, you know, he appears for about 2 seconds. So, so, you know, it has to be relevant, front and centre, you know, central to the narrative.
It's one of the things that occurred to me when I was looking through the program. There's some wonderful stories and obviously our show, Absolutely Everybody, is around inclusion. And inclusion, I guess, works in both ways, and we sort of look at people as people. And do you think that or would you want to market the festival or put a broader spectrum on people that might want to come along? Because I think there's some wonderful films, and when it boils down to it, it's about people and relationships. And I mean, not everyone has that attitude, I guess, but I mean, you look past the queer aspect, and it's about wonderful relationships between people. How do you get that? That to me is real inclusion.
Yeah, at its core, it's a queer film festival. But, of course, we try and attract people that maybe go to Melbourne International Film Festival because it's really just about great film.
They're great films,
So, you know, yes, it's a niche event and a niche festival. Sometimes we find it hard to convince distributors to screen their film with us.
Yeah.
Because they don't really want to brand it as a queer film, and they think that if they screen a lesbian film...
But if it was European, it would be okay?
Well, it just depends. It depends who's distributing it and how sort of adventurous they are. And, you know, sort of, for example, they might not want to screen a lesbian film at the Queer Film Festival because they think that there's only 30 lesbians in Melbourne and they'll have lost an audience.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, very short-sighted. So, look, the first port of call is that it is a queer film festival. Second and equally highest is that it needs to be a quality queer film festival, a quality film festival that would appeal to anyone. And there's some great stories. I mean, my mother goes to the festival and sees all sorts of things, not just because... you know, I'm involved in it, but because she likes to see good film.
Yeah, there are amazing films in it, actually. We'll talk about those in a minute. But I just want to talk a little bit about inclusion. And Amy, and obviously we all want to know, but I'll just be representing Amy, some of Amy's questions, because I don't want to take credit for them. Amy acknowledges that it is actually one of the more accessible events in the queer calendar. So, so some of the elements of the festival, has it been intentional to make it inclusive? Because you do cover everything from wheelchair access, guide dogs, you know, Auslan. Yep. So you try and cover everything, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yes, it is a definite effort on our part. We just listen to our audience, basically, and we get feedback every year. And, you know, those sorts of accessibility issues change every year. You know, in terms of our deaf community, sometimes the captioning is required, which, of course, is difficult for us because we have to rely on the filmmaker to caption the films. We've only got one captioned film this year.
Okay.
We do actually put a call out for filmmakers and include that, you know, is your film captioned? And, you know, it's just really hard for us to actually lay our hands on things that are captioned. So that's one thing that changes and we make an effort to do. But, yeah, we just listen to the audience. I mean, if they want particular things, we do our best to actually try and do those things. But, you know, of course, you know, we have a full page in the program guide about accessibility and, yes, you're right, about guide dogs. And, you know, we have a large print format guide. We have a $10 ticket offer this year so that...
That's great.
You know, if you're pressed financially, you can actually go to ACME during the festival between, I think it's 11 and 1:30.
And there's a lot of older people in the community too that might have accessibility issues, financial issues that might want to come along.
Yeah, so we try very hard. It's a very important issue to us. But at the same time, we're kind of hamstrung by the venues we use. Mm. Like, as much as we would like to have things even more accessible, and I mean, ACME has assisted listening, and Hoyts has the hearing loop. That's great for people with low hearing, but we can only afford to have one Auslan session, which is sponsored by the city of Yarra Trams.
Mm.
So, you know, we would love to have more of that stuff. We have our program launch Auslan signed as well, but you know, if we had more help from sort of finances and sponsors, we could extend that.
But I guess that says a lot about people, like organisations like yours or events that are hamstrung financially and do their best for accessibility.
Yeah, it's not just finance, because you are kind of, you're only as good as your venue allows you to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, ACME is fantastic, but sometimes I think a venue that's only 10 years old probably should be a bit more advanced in terms of accessibility. Hoyts Melbourne Central is great too. But, you know, we can't do much more than...
We're all sort of always banging on about design and architecture. And we were just talking about it before. I just want to quickly whiz through some of the films.
Sure.
So Amy's pick is Any Day Now, and I have to say that's my pick as well. So that is tackling issues around disability, the nature of family, challenging those ideas of what a family actually, you know, consists of. And it's a wonderful film about... a drag queen and who meets a person, and then they a gay man in a club, and they end up meeting Marco, who has Down syndrome, mm-hmm. and without giving too much away, it unfolds, and the wonderful actor from The Good Wife is in it.
Alan Cumming,
who I love.
He plays a drag performer. So during the day, he dresses as a man, is a gay man. He ends up with a very conservative gay
legal
lawyer.
Yeah.
And together they try to get custody of Marco, who has Down syndrome. He's about 14 years old because his mother's been taken off to prison for drug offences.
Mm.
And like you said, I don't want to give too much away, but it's a...
I want to save that one.
Yeah, it's set in the 70s, so...
Yeah.
But, you know, watching the set it in the 70s, you think, really, not a lot has changed.
Absolutely not. And that's what's so good about the film, I think, is that it really does challenge that idea of what a family consists of and who comes into your life and what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually have two films about boys with Down syndrome this year. We've got a short film called Fedorian.
Okay.
Which is a Canadian short about a parent who's got a sort of 15, 16-year-old son who has Down syndrome, and he realises that his son has got an attraction to another teen boy, and he, you know, he's sort of stuck for wondering how to sort of deal with this, and in the end just kind of lets it happen, and he realises that, you know, he can't change anything as much as he can't change the Down syndrome, he can't change the sexuality either. Yeah. It's a beautiful story.
Wow, that sounds fantastic
too. Yeah, and there's another feature called Matterhorn, which people might want to know about. It's about an intellectual disability and a relationship that grows out of that, and that's fantastic as well.
All right, we'll have to give those more of a plug over the next, while the festival's on. The other quick one I wanted to talk about, and we might be running out of time, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Tasty Bust reunion film, because I've seen the doco on that particular event. I must admit I love docos. So, what's that bring into play from the first one?
So it's the 20th anniversary of the Tasty Bust raid this year, and it's also the 10th anniversary of the Tasty Bust reunion DVD, which was obviously made 10 years after.
Bit of a cult following now.
Yes. And Sean Miller, who was actually in the raid, but is also in the film, is running the panel. So we've got a panel of, we've got Anna Brown from the the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, and Sean, and we've got Greg Adkins from the Anti-Violence Project, and they're going to talk about, of course, what happened during the actual raid, but also what's happened since. Yeah. And we did try and get a police representative, but have had trouble doing that, so that's very interesting. So we'll be talking about that too.
And again, do you think much has changed since?
Well, I think it has, but it is interesting that we couldn't get a representative from the police to talk.
So. That is interesting. And just one more, if I can squeeze it in. We were talking about the Dirk Bogarde film, that it's called Victim, directed by Basil Dearden.
Yes, 1961. We get a lot of requests for older stuff, but it's actually really hard to find and find permissions for. And this is a digitally remastered version, black and white, of course.
Yeah.
And one of the very first films to use the word homosexual, banned in the US, still holds its weight. It's a fantastic film.
Yeah,
I'm really
looks great.
Forward to seeing it on the big screen.
Yeah, and that, so he actually plays a man that's married but is actually gay? Is that?
Yeah, yeah. He's a lawyer who defends a friend who's been the subject of homosexual bribery, I guess you would call it. But, you know, it's quite a brave thing for someone of Dirk Bogarde's ilk to be, you know, being involved in a film like that at that stage.
Yeah, and that's just a taste of what's on.
Yeah, it's heaps.
Something for everyone.
Films.
It's just going to be great. So get along to the festival. I've got to ask you one more question about booking tickets for wheelchair access. How do you go about doing that?
So if you've got a companion card, if you have a companion with you, you can just ring the office on 9662 4147. If you're booking, probably best to call that number anyway if you have a wheelchair issue. Obviously, ACME has wheelchair access, they have lifts and that sort of thing. So, but I think it's fairly limited. I think, you know, 8 wheelchairs in a cinema is probably more than they can handle. So, you know, again, that's an interesting thing. And I think, engineers need to look at ways of removing seats a lot easier and quicker than it is at the present.
Well, we'll keep banging on about it here on Absolutely Everybody anyway. So.
Yeah, and have a look at our accessibility page at mqff.com.au. That's got a lot of information there. So, and feel free to ring the office at any time.
Great. Thanks so much for coming in, Lisa.
No worries.
It's been great. Cheers. And well done. And we look forward to next year's as well as this year's.
Thank
and, so the time is 8 minutes to one. You're listening to Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
It's 3 minutes to one and we're on Joy 94.9. We got a great message that's come in, and from Tony, and I got to say, huge kudos to you, Lisa Daniel, for what you've done. And the message is, I'm so glad I caught you on the radio, Lisa. I think we should acknowledge the driving force behind the festival still going and getting bigger has been largely due to your remarkable dedication and talent. I hope everyone has heard your warning that if people don't start supporting the festival, it won't remain in its current format. Well done, Lisa, and thank you for your time, Tony.
Yeah, it certainly is. I don't think people realise how big the festival is. If you get the program, it's quite a substantial program.
Oh, it's massive, absolutely massive. Like, and people I know, it's one thing that goes on their calendar every year.
Yeah,
and, you know, as soon as the tickets come up, they're in.
Yeah, no, it is great. Hey, Julia, I realise that there's 13 weeks in the grid at Joy, and we're up to about, I think, show 11 or 12. And I thought it would be interesting just to revisit over the next couple of weeks some of the things that we've covered so far on the show. First show we had, we talked about checking in with the neighbour and sort of mental health issues. So, and we had your wonderful guest, Dr.
Oh, We had Carol Cook. We had Tim.
Yeah, that's
Tim,
right.
Dr. Tim Edwards Hart came in and spoke to us about inclusion and tips on what you need to do for yourself to stay included.
Yeah, and that was really, really interesting. And we've got that transcript on the Enecto website. So, yeah, so check out that. So next week we might look a little bit more at what we have covered over the last weeks, that you know, for the beginning of our show. So I think we're going to wind it up now, though. We've had an amazing show today.
Yeah, thank you, Jody. So next week on the show, we welcome our Regional Manager of Innovation and Leadership, Adam Schickling, from Enecto to talk about a few projects that are on the boil. And are you into rowing? And as the ad said earlier, do you see yourself on the end of an oar?
I'll give anything a try.
Absolutely. And Jody catches up with the President of the Argonauts, Tim Hewitson.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.